Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast series presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This series connects people affected by blood cancers to their community with stories of hope, healing, and help.
Welcome to another podcast in the ongoing series about the cancer experience presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. I'm your host, George Athens. Thanks for joining us. Today, we are speaking with Laurie Galbraith from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and the topic of discussion is being a caregiver for a loved one undergoing a stem cell transplant. Hi, Laurie. We appreciate you taking the time to share your story.
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a little background on yourself and the loved one for which you became a caregiver. What is your relationship and what was their diagnosis?
So I was a caregiver for my husband. His name is Jim. He was diagnosed 11 years ago now with acute myeloid leukemia.
So can you share with us the initial emotions and thoughts you had when you learned that your loved one, your husband, would be undergoing a stem cell transplant for blood cancer?
Well, I think the initial emotions are always shock when we heard the diagnosis, although we had our suspicions. But we just decided to put one foot in front of the other and continue on as they chose to come up with a plan and treat him for the AML.
So you're telling me, I suspect, well, we know that medical care is very important, especially good medical care, but it's also very important to have a positive attitude, right?
Oh, exactly. My husband in the beginning, he didn't really say, why me? He said, why not me? Bad things sometimes happen to people, right? And so we really just wanted to move forward and do what we needed to do. Jim didn't have a lot of options for treatment. They actually said the only option would be stem cell transplant. So we just decided, let's continue on then. What's the next step? And just took it day by day, truly.
How was your medical care then?
It was actually fantastic. Saskatoon has an excellent BMT unit with the hematologist there. It was a fairly newer BMT unit. When Jim was treated, it had been going, I'm not sure if it was more than 2 or 4 years at the time, but they had a very great team there, which we trusted completely. An excellent nursing staff, excellent care, period, from the dietitians to the, you know, care aides. We were very thankful, especially since Jim actually spent 5 out of 8 months of his journey in the hospital. So we were very thankful for all the support he had.
Speaking of support, did you have any support or contact with the LLSC during this period, either, you know, during or after? Or
actually, no. I got in contact more with LLS actually much later on, probably about 5 years ago. So I actually had a really good support network of people that were around me that I could go to, that actually they weren't any type of cancer group or medical support group. They were just friends that were there for me when I needed to talk.
Okay. As a caregiver, what were the most challenging aspects of supporting Jim through the various stages of the stem cell transplant process? I guess including the periods before, during, and after.
I think for me, the most challenging was providing emotional support that was positive, but also honest at times. I think Jim had a lot of mental health issues going through it. Pre-transplant, he actually had a complete psychosis due to some of the medications he was on. And post-transplant, when we returned home, he had some anxiety and depression to deal with. So providing emotional support when I was maybe quite worried or wondered if I would ever get my husband back, the husband that I had prior to AML. That was, I think, the most difficult part of it for me, because, I'm trying to support him through it all. And what do I do with my thoughts at times?
So how did you deal with that, let's say the coping mechanism of all of this, because it is quite the balancing act as you have just described.
Yeah, I think honestly, my coping mechanisms first and foremost, it seems very simple, but I found something every day to be thankful for, regardless of how large or how small it was, because that kept me focused on the positives. I didn't go down dark rabbit holes, whether those were rabbit holes on the internets with what ifs or what might happen, or if that was negative thoughts, I took the time to redirect them. Yeah, process them, but just redirect them and choose to continue to focus on what we could do every day. Anything positive. And I grabbed onto hope anywhere I could find it, whether that was conversations with people that we met on the street that said, "Hey, I had a friend who had le leukemia and they're doing really well," to just the smiles or the little things in life that you enjoyed, right? I grabbed on to anything positive and hope anywhere I could find it. And really, truly, that's what got me through, for sure.
What kind of adjustments did you make to your daily life and routine to accommodate these caregiving responsibilities, let's say during and after the transplant?
Yeah, so Jim spent a lot of time in hospital. So I was very lucky in that I wasn't working when we moved. So I had the time to spend with Jim every day. So we had our middle child left with us, and he was staying with family. Well, I was staying with family because we had to leave the little community that we were in to receive treatment. So we were in a border town between Saskatchewan and Manitoba, and so we had to be in Saskatoon. And so we lived in the hospital basically. So there wasn't a lot of normalcy to that, but I just and a lot of it's just a lot of change. Your life goes from whatever you're doing to supporting your loved one, and especially when they spend that much time in the hospital, it was important that I be there with him. That was important for him. So my life just kind of changed quite drastically from, working and raising children at home to spending, hours every day in the hospital, which I'm thankful for. I'm actually very thankful that I had the ability to do that, my teenage son at the time was well taken care of. And of course, I saw him every day. But, it was a complete change for us. And we just ran with it. Whatever happened in each day, I focused on each day.
Oh,
And just continued on.
good for you. So how's Jim doing today?
Fantastic. He's actually this month coming up to his 11th stem cell birthday. He has done amazing. He's had very little long-term difficult things that have kept on since treatment. So, yeah, we are very thankful. It's wonderful. We've actually since then, all our children have left home, got married, we're grandparents now. So to have those 11 years, I am a very thankful woman.
Oh, congratulations. So how did this whole ordeal change your life from, let's say, an emotional or a I guess from an emotional point of view, did it make you more thankful or more focused on making the most of every day?
I think you're in there making them. I still, I've learned to live one day at a time, right? Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I think that has been a really great thing, finding something to be thankful for every day. I still do that, especially in difficult times or stressful times, because again, it gives us focus to the positive. That I find really makes a difference. And, I'd say I love my husband more now than I ever did. So, when you take that time to focus on what's important and work together through the difficult times, it just really makes a difference.
Well, good life lessons for everybody, whether they're going through a cancer challenge or not. And thank you, Lori, so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me. Appreciate that.
If listeners have any questions about this podcast or the subject discussed today, or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with a community services lead in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. This podcast was made possible by Rexall Care Network. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.
Thank you for listening to The Blood Cancer Experience, a series of podcasts presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. We are committed to supporting the blood cancer community through programs, services, and research. This podcast is presented by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada.